the reason why I think local first is we're going to just keep seeing more and more of it is that, to me, it's essential for a great user experience. It makes it really easy to enable offline. It's important that it's instantaneous, local first, and that there's no like clunky login required for you to start collaborating. As you're typing, you feel that instantaneous response because it doesn't need to make that round trip to the server. It's just right there where you want it.
Hey, this is Brian, and you're listening to Jamstack Radio, a bi-weekly series where we discuss modern web development with maintainers, founders, and developers. Jamstack Radio is brought to you by HeavyBit, the leading investor in developer-first startups. For more information, visit heavybit.com. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic, find us on Twitter at Jamstack Radio. Welcome to another installment of Jamstack Radio. On the line, we got Kara from Stashpad. Kara, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Yeah. So we've actually known each other for quite a few years now. Actually, it was a pretty early Stashpad user. We're going to talk about your new feature, but I'm a big fan of the previous feature that's still around Stashpad list, because I use it for my 101s and like be able to have quick notes that are not a random doc, Google Doc somewhere. It's all organized pretty beautifully. But before we get into all that, can you explain who is Kara to the audience?
Yeah. So my background is in software engineering. I had been working at Twilio a little while back now as a software engineer. And while I was there, just kind of like got this itch for entrepreneurship. A cool thing about Twilio is that the end users are developers. And so as a developer there, you get to talk to other developers who are trying to build stuff with Twilio. And I found it just so exciting, like seeing how we could figure things out together. And I definitely wanted to get into entrepreneurship that way. We, as you know, we've been on a bit of a journey first, working on a personal notepad for software developers, where we had noticed that like just about everyone has like text edit or take your bare bones pick open for a lot of the workday. And so we made this like keyboard-centric, developer-focused personal notepad. And then towards the end of last year, we were just talking to our customers and kind of seeing like, okay, we've been in this space a little while. Like, where should we be focusing our efforts so that we can have the biggest impact possible on people's day and them enjoying their work? And that takes us to our new product, Stashpad Docs, which is basically we noticed that just as almost everyone has that like text edit open all the time for serving what we call like working memory, which is like your RAM. So it's where you get stuff down, like for those one-on-ones as you're working on projects. Nearly every team also has a collaborative notepad for getting things down and getting aligned as they're working through things. Most common of which being Google Docs, which has a lot of benefits. But even in you, as you mentioned with the Stashpad list, they can go everywhere. And really just Google Docs was created in 2006. And there are all these features that have been added to it for a mass audience that have its place and can be beneficial. But for the technical audience that we're all about, it really leaves a lot to be desired. And so just at the beginning of this year, we started working on this new product, Stashpad Docs, which is a minimal Google Docs alternative. It is Markdown first, we like to say. So it has really strong Markdown support. And one of the coolest features about it is you don't need an account to use it. So if you want to start writing something down, if you want to start collaborating, you just go, I'll plug it, stash.new, and you can start typing and collaborating right away.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of this because we literally just went through this last week. And I didn't think to use Stashpad Docs, but we've had this, I guess, pain point inside of open source where we have a bunch of engineers and eventually someone has to pretend to be a product manager because otherwise, like, no one knows what is done when you're actually building a feature. So we made a decision to like centralize all of our documentation for a feature into one place. And anything that comes up, any sort of pain points or for engineers, like we could centralize on that when we do like weekly updates on like how it's going and then make sure that we're on track to ship things, which is like, it's a novel concept. If you worked at an engineering team before or a larger one, like this is common, but as a smaller company, like we just needed a place to throw things like into one place. And like we had lots of conversations like, what do we do? Like, and so like having a centralized document store that you don't need an account for that you can just take quick notes on. Stash.new is actually a great URL too as well, which there's like this trend right now, these .news, they've been around for quite some time. I think Google is the owner of the TLD And I like that there's a resurgence of folks knowing that .new exists. So yeah, congrats on getting that domain.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a suggestion from a beta user. They were like, grab sash.new. And I was like, okay, don't grab it before me and charge me money for it. I'm grabbing it.
Yeah, we actually have pizza.new is ours.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we haven't publicized that actually. And then we have highlights.new because one of our features is highlights. But more about Stashpad. So the thing that actually was really intriguing was we were talking before we hit record, you had mentioned the idea of this being local first.
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to because on this podcast, we talk about the Jamstack a lot and we talk about serverless, but local first is something that I've been seeing more and more on Twitter, inside projects. So can you explain what local first is and how Stashpad docs are exploring this?
Yeah. So local first basically means that you don't need to wait for a round trip request to a server in order to see your results. So it's stored. How it works for Stashpad is, in addition to being stored on a server, so that enables the collaboration and stuff, everything that you write is stored client side in IndexedDB. And the reason why I think local first is we're going to just keep seeing more and more of it is that to me, it's essential for a great user experience. Because basically what you have is as you're typing, you feel that instantaneous response because it doesn't need to make that round trip to the server. It's just right there where you want it. And then there are also benefits like it makes it really easy to enable offline. So if you're traveling or have shaky Wi-Fi, you can access your stuff right away, which is really important when it comes to notes and thoughts and stuff.
I love that there's a name attached to this because we're currently recording this podcast in Riverside, which actually does do the local first and records on your machine and my machine. And our separate audio will get uploaded to the cloud once we hit stop record. And I think this is actually really powerful because now you get a better experience. I'll mention, while I'm listening to you talk, your video does get a little choppy, but I do know have a ton of confidence that locally your machine is recording everything that you're saying, that we'll have a perfect audio and a perfect podcast at the end of this. So listeners, tweet at us if it's not that case, but I have the highest confidence in Riverside and how they approach local first. But that term is, I love the fact that it exists. And I do love the fact that folks like Johannes is now doing the Local First podcast, or Local First FM, I think is the name of the podcast. He was also running some Local First meetups in Europe. And I think it's something, if you've been in the Jamstack long enough, you should definitely be paying attention to what this Local First movement is doing.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'd love to dig into technically how you approach this challenge of doing one, no authentication to create these docs. So you don't have to create an account. You mentioned the local first thing. What's the tech stack look like to throw this thing together?
Yeah. So local first and the no requirement for an account kind of can go hand in hand because basically we'll just store a user ID on the client side. And then you can choose to log in if you want to. But to us, again, to just make that frictionless user experience, it's important that it's instantaneous, local first, and that there's no clunky login required for you to start collaborating. And so what we're using for our tech stack is we have IndexedDB is that local store. And so it's pretty fun. If you go to sash.new and you want to see under the hood, you can inspect developer tools and you'll see that actually your documents are there locally in your browser, just as you would see that for Riverside right now. And then the other piece of our tech stack that was a slightly unusual choice, I guess, or a little less common, is that we chose to use Solid instead of React, which is what our first app is built in. And again, it's just all about performance when it comes to Solid. And something that's pretty cool is that our goal with Stashpad Docs versus Google Docs is we think a lot of the benefit is actually removing features. Less is a lot more because that's again how it gets fast. And so using Solid over React, the main downside that we were evaluating is the ecosystem just isn't as big yet. But when you have a more minimal app, you don't need a million things. And so we can just benefit from the performance improvements.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because again, I've been following Solid as well as an alternative to React. I haven't actually built anything in Solid as of yet, but I've definitely had conversations with Ryan Coronado on another podcast about the sort of where Solid came from. And I think return to simplicity, because I think this is something that as we're now all remote teams. If you're not a remote team, congratulations. But now everyone else is really going to remote. How are you storing context? How are you having that water cooler a lot of stuff needs to happen async because, like, for me, my team is all US time zones, but by lunchtime, I can definitely feel the team winding down going into their focus work. So, like, if for me not to ping like a huge long Slack message or me not to like open a non-actionable GitHub issue, going into like a stash.new, be like, okay, here's the B-Dougie brain dump. I will share this on a scheduled post for tomorrow morning when everyone wakes up at my 6 a.m. And I think that's it's a wonderful way to like really move into that place. And I wanted to bring up GitHub Gist as well, because GitHub Gist is something that I would use a lot for this as well. Like a throwaway note, a throwaway doc. Like, how do I share something that folks can take a look at that I never have to remember later? Or if I do remember, I'll just drop it in somewhere else where like inside the repo or inside a README. And for transparency, like GitHub Gist doesn't really have a lot of contribution internally at GitHub. It's a product that was shipped. It exists. Every now and then things get updated for security and for performance things. But it sounds like this could be the successor, like the GitHub Gist. It could be the successor of like what we had with wikis previously. I'll pause for you to comment on that. But this is me being very excited about the existence of Stashpad Docs.
Yeah. I think the GitHub Gist is a really good example where, especially for like one of the things, just when we were doing like discovery interviews, is like, if you have like a code snippet, it could be a kind of long code snippet and you want to just share it quickly, GitHub Gist has been like really the main option. Like anyone that's tried to write code in a Google Doc, it's not going to look too great. It's not even really an option. So it's the lightest weight option to date, but it's a little bit clunky. And so we try to make that easier. And the use case that you mentioned around like your brain dump that then you drop in like Slack or Discord, that's a big one that we see where it actually surprised us a lot, because at first, we were excited about not requiring a login just because it makes it faster. I've had the experience where I'm trying to get into Google Doc. I accidentally use like the wrong email. Now I can't access it. And it's like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I just want to get in. Or, oh, I just wrote a comment for my personal email. This is awkward, whatever. And so it's like, it's kind of this clunky experience. So that was like the original motivation. But then something that's been really surprising to us is that there are often cases where people are connected to each other without email. So it could be in Slack with your team. It could be in Slack with like a community you're involved with. It could be a WhatsApp group. And so something people have shared with us is that like being able to, instead of writing that giant WhatsApp message, like dump a checklist with some thoughts into Stashpad Docs and then drop it. And anyone there can then like interact with it and collaborate is very easy.
Yeah. Is there a multiplayer in Stashpad Docs as well?
Yep. And this is a fun thing also just experimentally with the tech stack. It's like optimized for like what we call real-time collaboration. So it's local first. So you're going to get that instant snappiness as you're in flow on stuff. But then also using Cloudflare, we're able to make it so that pretty much anywhere in the developed world, you're going to have sub 50 millisecond collaboration. And so you just see things right away, no matter where your colleagues are, which is helpful in brainstorms and meetings, things like that.
Well, and you mentioned Cloudflare is powering that experience, or is it the fact that you're hosting on Cloudflare?
Cloudflare is a big part of why we can offer that. And so Something that's been really fun with this, after working on Stashpad and Lists for the last like few years and stuff, it's kind of like as we were starting on this new, what started as an experiment, and now we're excited to like bring it out of beta, is like we got to see like what are the technologies that are available now that weren't available before that are enabling us to create these new experiences. And so like another one is just, I don't know if you're familiar with like YJS, which is a CRDC implementation. And so it just makes it so easy to offer those real-time interactions without conflicts, which is just what you expect when you're collaborating. And so something that's just been fun for us internally is like getting to use a lot of these open source technologies that have just like had amazing advancements in the last couple of years, and just seeing what we can make with that been really fun.
Yeah, this is something I was talking a couple episodes ago with Mike about like the future of the Jamstack and the fact that compute, it's like it's gotten cheaper, but then it's also got more expensive in different areas. So like there are unlimited serverless functions. Well, it's not unlimited. It's like a million invocations, but like that is now being challenged of now you love it. Okay, go ahead and pay for something. And that's currently a theme and a conversation right now on Twitter. But what I'm getting at is like the fact that now we can have one local first, we can have real time collaboration, but also we can do this all without even like signing up to an account to then choose to, we did all the work, now let's go throw it to a place. Absolutely amazing. And I was going to ask if, so unauthenticated, like you have a stash doc, does that, like, is it auto-deleted eventually, or is that just going to stay live on a URL forever?
So currently it'll stay live on a URL forever until you delete it. That's something we've like explored, just like talking to people and like seeing like, how could we push the limits so that it doesn't get really chaotic and stuff, but it's still useful to you. And so like one of our beta users had the idea, like, what if it were kind of like Snapchat? Like, this is going to disappear in like 48 hours if you don't save it. And I love the idea. I think it's a cool concept, but something that we've noticed is like, again, just like there are great options for making really great search. And so like we've already invested in like having search that works well and are going to be adding more things so that like basically it's like a heat rating. So if you're not touching something, it almost gets archived because the way that you'd be discovering it through search, it's not going to be as high up. So we haven't taken any of those moves yet. Like the Snapchat thing, I feel like it's kind of like, if you've ever seen like high fashion things where it's like you're trying to kind of push the envelope and see what's possible and then say, okay, is it actually helpful if we disappear your doc? Maybe, then we'll do it. Maybe, I'm not so convinced right now, but it's a fun idea.
This sounds fun. Honestly, it seems like a lot of really cool technical challenges.
Yeah, definitely.
So I want to leave the listeners with like, what's next with Stashpad Docs? Like, what can they expect? And then also, let's remind them, stash.new, they can try this out literally while they're listening to this.
Cool. Yeah. So one thing that's cool is like we want the product to stay really minimal. We think that's like just essential to offering a great user experience for these types of use cases. So the kind of like core doc, we're pretty happy with where it's at right now. And so the next things we're going to be doing are, I don't know if you've seen, like if you're doing Google Docs async workflows, sometimes the comments can turn into like conversations that get really unwieldy and stuff. And so we have some ideas about how we can rein that in a little bit. So some better commenting things. And then the other two main things on our roadmap are going to be adding like an AI-powered search. So instead of just full text search, you'll also be able to search by meaning, not just keyword. And then a bunch of integrations, which we think can help us just make it faster to jump into a collaborative session. So like if you're in Slack, how can we make it even faster than going to your browser and typing stash.new to just make sure you get in and start collaborating right away?
Excellent. Cool. Well, Kara, thanks for chatting about Stashpad Docs. And I do want to transition us to picks. These things that we're jamming on, things that music, tech related, all the above. And if you don't mind, I will go first. I've mentioned this multiple times on the podcast and picks. Growing up, I was always a watch TV while doing homework kid. So what I've been doing lately is I've been watching NBA games and then doing my emails, because that's the only way I can catch up is like relax. And then by the second quarter, I can start opening up the laptop and answer questions. But I've also picked up like when my daughter was born, I watched all of 30 Rock. So like when I have like these like moments of, you know what, I think I could probably watch an entire series like to completion. And this is like, I know I'm going to get some like mindless work done. Watch a series. So my pick is actually Always Sunny in Philadelphia when I'm only like 7 episodes into the first season. And I'm like questioning if I want to skip a season because it's like low quality, low definition, like very different than I was expecting from all the clips I've seen of it in pop culture. But it's 16 seasons. So it's like a lot of episodes. And it's also pre the, there was a time on TV where there's like 24 episodes a season type of deal. So this is a lot of content. So I'm like, I'm going to take a look at this. I was actually hearing a clip from the three guys who are on the show have a podcast. And they're talking about how this show is, it's almost like a modern day Seinfeld, honestly, where there's kind of awful people who get into awful situations and make even wrong situations. And like, there's no moment of them learning anything. So like, that's kind of the TLDR of the show itself. But on the podcast, they're talking about like, there's a whole culture of men who have like watched the show and now think that this is okay to do things. So like they're questioning if like they're going to continue doing the show. But I'm like, oh, well, let me watch the show. So this thing is probably going to wind down like the next, I guess they might have renewed for a couple extra seasons. But regardless, what I'm getting at is like, let me just watch this thing because I'd always seen it around in college and like it came up and like there's a lot of memes about Charlie Day and like the whole standing in front of the paper with the board. So anyway, My pick is Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm not even sure if I even like the show, but it's good background TV. So we'll see. Someone let me know if there's like a season I should jump ahead to, because I feel like the first season, like, they're awful. It's funny, but it's also like, I don't know. I could see this thing getting a little tiring.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but I had watched Wrexham. I don't know if you watched that.
I did not watch that, but I'm familiar.
Yeah, it got me interested because it's a lot of fun. But yeah, I'll say for my pick, one of the biggest things I've been into recently is Kenji, I think his last name is Lopez Alt, from the New York Times. He has just a whole bunch of these YouTube videos about like how to cook chicken, except really, really well. How to make like oven roasted pulled pork and things like that. And I've gotten super into each of his videos are like around 10 minutes. And a lot of them are very lo-fi. Like he has a camera on his head in his kitchen and he spins around and you just see him and how organized he is. And I've gotten really into it where something I love about like a video for cooking stuff versus a recipe is when they say like a pinch of salt, they actually mean like a handful based on what I'm used to. And just seeing that, you're like, oh, that's why it didn't taste so good. And now it does. Great.
Wow.
That's been my pick, the Kenji YouTube videos for cooking.
Very cool. Yeah, yeah. I've gotten thanks to the pandemic, I went to a whole cooking rabbit hole of like baking bread to eventually like...
Oh, wow.
Making a bunch of random stuff to like barbecuing. So I feel like I came alive in the kitchen in the last couple of years. So I'll definitely be checking that out and definitely be, we're going to be convincing the team to use Stashpad Docs more.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks so much for coming on and chatting about your new product. But also, listeners, keep spreading the jam.
That's all we have time for today. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic, find us on Twitter at Jamstack Radio. The show is brought to you by HeavyBit, the leading investor in developer-first startups. To learn more about HeavyBit, visit HeavyBit.com.